Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, June 9th, 2017, and we are still talking about Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference because, today's the last day. So with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How's it going, Dave?
It goes. I'm happy to be here, and I'm actually happy to be back at my desk in New Hampshire. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. John Martellaro, it's great that you are here, too.
Very good. I'm in my post-WWDC keynote giddiness mode.
You know, I love that the keynote was on Monday. Here we are on Friday, and you are still in your giddy mode.
I am still pumped.
I see that as a very promising thing. Hey, we have sponsors all week long for our WWDC content. That includes GigSky, Mac Sales, Riedel, Sanebox, and iMazing. And hey, Mac Sales is our show sponsor today. So that's really awesome. And we'll get to that soon. But first, we haven't had a chance to really dive into our thoughts on HomePod. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit, but we're at the end of the week. I think it's time to circle back to HomePod and take a look at this, just a little more in depth. And Dave, you actually got to see the HomePod.
So yeah, I got to see it. I did not get to hear it. I was not one of the people invited to hear it, despite asking to be able to hear it. And who knows why I'm not going to put on my tinfoil hat about why they chose not to, but they certainly are aware of the fact that I am no stranger to wireless audio in the home and Sonos and all of that. But I did get to see it. And we mentioned that briefly Monday. Sir, you've seen the pictures. It's 7 inches tall. It looks.
Is it better looking than the pictures?
I think so. It's kind of short and fat is the way it looks to me. And very round, no Ethernet port on it. There's no port of any kind. There is a power cord that comes out of it that doesn't appear to be removable or replaceable, which is sort of one of those questionable decisions. But they didn't let me touch it. So I can only speak to what appears to be the case. And this is very obviously a pre-production model.
That's true. The cord may be removable by the time it actually ships.
Maybe. Right.
Yeah.
It would make sense that it were. I mean, I didn't see how it was plugged in, but my guess is they want these things to work in multiple countries. And so, removable cords or some other solution. It was a thick cord. It wasn't like some, thin USB style cord. I mean, it had some power going to it. Mm-hmm. But, I've had the opportunity to talk with some people that have heard it. And Apple was doing some tests, and the tests were sort of interesting. They would bring people into a room. You couldn't touch it. You couldn't interact with it. You could listen to 6 songs that they played for you on it, on an Amazon Echo, and on a Sonos Play 3. Mm-hmm. Now, that to me is an interesting choice. Obviously, the Echo makes sense. And the HomePod, again, we're not talking about voice control functionality, nothing like that. It was simply a listening test with these 6 songs that we've pre-selected. And it does not surprise me that every single person said that it totally blows away the sound of the Amazon Echo. No great surprise. I mean, that's got okay sound, but it's not built to be your home audio source. Although many people use it for that, and a lot of people are fine with it. To compare it to Sonos makes a lot of sense. To compare it to a Sonos Play 3 could be explained by saying, well, the Play 3 lists for $299 and our speaker is $349. So, right in the price range, that's the thing that you should compare it to. The problem is that the Sonos Play 3 is A, the oldest speaker in Sonos's lineup right now, and B, is arguably... And many people wouldn't argue with this, including people at Sonos, I would believe, arguably the worst sounding speaker in Sonos's lineup.
Just for clarification, does that mean that people think the Sonos 3 sounds bad, or
no,
that their other products just sound better?
Yeah, sort of the general consensus is that Sonos made the Play 1 too good because it sounds better than the Play 3, and the Play 1 costs $199 and the Play 3 costs $299. So, and the Play 1 is fully sealed too. So while they won't say it's waterproof, they will say that it's moisture proof. So you can have it in your bathroom and steam it up and it's fine. I do know people that have left them outside for years and they're totally fine. But it's not sold as a waterproof speaker. So to compare it to the Play 3 feels a little disingenuous to me. And yet the general consensus of people was some songs sounded better on the HomePod and some songs just sounded good on both, you know, the Play 3 and the HomePod. One very interesting thing about the HomePod though, is that unlike the Play 3 from Sonos, but like other speakers that Sonos makes, the Play 3 has an array of tweeters aimed in all different directions, or at least 360 degrees directions. Mm-hmm. And then the speaker tunes itself to use your walls and such to reflect the sound to give you the illusion, the audible illusion of a much wider field of sound than just this little thing. And like I said, Sonos does that with their Play 5 and also their Play Bar and Play Bass, which are built to go under the TV. And so, you know, that part, and the Play 3 does not do any of that. Although if Sonos were to build a new Play 3, my guess is they would do that. I have no knowledge of whether or not they're building a new Play 3. It just makes sense that if they're going to update a speaker, that would be the one because it's the oldest. Because they're putting that in all of their stuff to widen this field, this idea of having, you know, small device, large sound field. And it really does work on the Sonos stuff. So I assume it works well on the HomePod as well. But where this gets interesting is... the fact that Apple is pushing the HomePod in every aspect as a music, not even music first device, but music only. And I suppose they mentioned podcasts and that sort of thing. So yes, that's there. But when talking about Siri on it and all of that, it was very much, it's your musicologist. It will let you play songs. It can hear you when the music's playing and you can tell it to pause the track or change the volume or whatever. But it seems like Siri on this thing, at least the way Apple's talking about it, is built to be sort of music only, as opposed to your whole home Siri device, which starts to get interesting because whose Siri is it in the home? And Amazon has this problem too. Mm-hmm. You know, and I said, what about multiple users? And they said, anybody that is in your family account for Apple Music can use their Apple Music account on the HomePod or HomePods that are in your house. So, but what's missing from that answer is, and the rest of the Siri world is accessible to you via this device. I don't think it is.
That's kind of the impression I'm getting based on what we've heard and based on what you've been told.
Yeah. Now, I asked that question and the answer was reiterated. Anyone with, you know, access or an account linked to your Apple Music family account will be able to, you know, it was like, OK, great. So here's the party line. We're not going to go past that. Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Well, at least now we know where their line is. Now we know.
But so that party line continues to the purpose of the device, because I asked, I know you can pair, they said you can pair two of them together to give you two truly separate sound sources that then fill the room with sound. And so you get this wider stereo field, or at least potentially wider stereo field, if you pair two of them together. And I said, okay, well, what about pairing four of them together to use for, you know, true surround sound with Apple TV?
Good question.
Yeah, and that's one of the first places I went with this in my head.
Yeah, and the answer was very similar to my other question. Anyone connected to your Apple Music family account can play their music on this device. And no, we don't have anything to announce at this time about. And they didn't even. It wasn't even that far, but it was and they can be paired in a stereo, you know, two of them can be paired together to widen the sound field. So, and I said, what about pairing with an Apple TV? And again, it came back to that same answer, which tells me that at least right now, this is a music only device, which just seems so strange to me. I mean, I get focus. I mean, Apple has done this before, right? The iPod was Mac only when it came out, right? So let's remember that. And there was no video iPod because, you know, we're focused on making it this way until, of course, there was a video iPod and obviously changed.
It's a bad idea until Apple says it isn't.
Yeah. So we could be in that sort of bubble with this thing. And again, the product doesn't even exist yet in terms of it being available for consumers to get their hands on and won't be for several months or maybe 6 months. But it seems strange that Apple has the Apple TV. And it's not like even like we're asking, could I link it with my home entertainment system? It's, can I link it with my Apple TV so that I have a screen, this device that streams all my content, and then this other device from you that plays the sound from that streaming? But no. And, you know, I think that might be very difficult to do. And not impossible, but think about this, right? If the Apple TV is streaming, say, Netflix, or let's say an iTunes movie, let's get third parties out of it. So it's streaming a movie from iTunes and you're enjoying your movie and you want sound to come out of your HomePod. There is no Ethernet port on the HomePod. There is no HDMI port on it. And there's no optical audio port on either the Apple TV current generation or the HomePod, right? So the only way to get sound into this HomePod is via Wi-Fi. And while Wi-Fi can be pretty good, it does introduce variable latency, meaning the variable delays between when you send a signal and when it's received. Now, those delays can be very, very low, especially if something is within very close proximity. But it's variable delay where that gets very interesting for audio. And other companies have proven that this is very difficult to do because really the only one that tends to get it right is Sonos. And they've worked really hard at it for longer than anyone. Doesn't mean that Apple couldn't do this, but they, what they would have to do is tweak the software in the Apple TV to know when the sound is going to reliably come out of that speaker, maybe with some buffering in the HomePod or whatever, and then display your image on the screen so that the two reach your brain simultaneously. Right? So this gets very interesting.
And
it's a challenge. And this stuff, let me tell you from the conversations I've had with the people at Sonos, I can't iterate or reiterate enough that this stuff is really difficult, especially when you add video. It's much, much easier, but also extremely difficult to do with audio only because you don't have to sync with a source that your eyes are depending on. You can do, you can have about 30 milliseconds of delay between things when you're talking about audio, and your brain will correlate them and treat them as the same. So you've got a whole lot more slosh room, if you will, with audio, and you can buffer this stuff, right? If you've got two speakers that are supposed to play the same thing, well, if they're both 100 milliseconds delayed so that any, you know, fluctuations in your home network are just totally bypassed, that's great. But where that gets weird is now you have to have your video source know it's supposed to delay in order to do all this stuff. So it starts getting it's tough. So this might not be your home entertainment speaker. It might be, at this point, your Apple Music speaker. And to compete with something like Sonos, A, you want to talk about home entertainment, but perhaps that's B, and A is Spotify, right? Pandora, all of the other Tidal, all the other services that people use for their streaming stuff. But, you know.
Let me ask you the other side of the coin on this, Dave.
Sure.
As you mentioned, Siri is the other side of the coin, and people will be tempted to ask why Apple isn't going toe-to-toe with Echo, Amazon Echo, in terms of the AI aspect, of the smart speaker aspect. And the only thing that occurs to me is that everything you've said applies. Plus, Apple may be a little thin-skinned about its capabilities of Siri right now compared to Alexa.
Totally.
Dave, don't answer yet.
Okay.
Because I'm totally interrupting you because I want to talk about Otherworld Computing real quick. So they are our sponsor today, and I'm really pleased that they are because it's a great company. They make some amazing products that help you upgrade, repair, expand your Apple devices, whether it's your MacBook Pro, your iMac, your iPod, or your iPhone. They have all of these great things: hard drives, SSDs, memory, batteries, things like that. And of course, they also have their new Thunderbolt dock out, Thunderbolt 3 dock for the Macs that support Thunderbolt 3. An excellent timing because Apple announced new Thunderbolt 3 capable iMacs this week. So I've had a great relationship with their products for a long time, but I have to share a story. I have a 2011 MacBook Pro that through an interesting chain of events, I decided that I was going to give to a family in Ghana. And so I went to wipe the hard drive, and which, by the way, it had I had put a 16 gigabyte memory upgrade from OWC in the computer already. And when I took the computer out of the bag that I put it in, somewhere along the way, over the last several weeks, the battery did that puff thing where it swelled up so much the whole back of the computer was bent. And
that's bad.
That's really bad on many levels. And so I was kind of like freaking out a little bit about where I should even try and take the back off the computer in case this thing went exploded on me. So anyhow, the point is, before I even messed with that, I just went to OWC's website and ordered a replacement battery from them. Then I went back and extracted the battery from my computer and safely disposed of it. And then the new battery shows up, and it was great because I had completely forgotten that somewhere along the way, I lost the tri-lobe screwdriver that I need to extract a battery like that. They include it with the battery. Everything I needed was there. The video showing how to replace the battery was fantastic. And I went from this computer with no battery and not the right tools with me to 10 minutes later, I was booting up the computer so that I could start conditioning the battery so I could send it off to Ghana. And it was fantastic. I went from, oh crap, this computer could explode, to 3 days later, I've got a computer ready to send off to a family that needs it. So this is where I go for products like this now. And I would love for you guys to do the same. So go check out the products that Otherworld Computing is offering. And to do that, you go to their website, which is macsales.com. There's a long story behind why it's that. Ask me sometime, I'll tell you. But macsales.com and check out all the products they have. It's fantastic stuff. I'm so pleased with what they offer. And when I do upgrades for the internal stuff on my computers, that's the first place I go. So check it out, macsales.com. And thank you, Otherworld Computing, for being our sponsor.
I do want to throw one thing in, Jeff. I'm going to jump us right back to the HomePod, by the way.
Okay.
Because I want to make it clear, The multi-user stuff is, or the user-specific stuff is limited to Apple Music. You can ask it to set you a timer, the HomePod. You can ask it, what the capital of I don't know, Illinois is or something, right? It will tell you that. But in terms of information specific to you, I believe that's only coming from your phone, other than music. And they wouldn't really go into detail how you tell it use Dave's playlist, use Lisa's playlist, but that was something they said it could do. And of course it can also do, it's your HomeKit hub, so it can do general things in your home, just not specific to you, which is where it gets interesting.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Privacy issues.
Yeah, I'm assuming privacy is playing in. I don't think it's privacy.
I think it's difficult to decide whose calendar, Siri, tell me what the next appointment is on my calendar. Well, whose calendar?
I would consider that a privacy issue. But also, it's a serious technical issue. How do you tell the difference between voices so you know whose calendar to relay? And what if you have your parent and your children are old enough now that that their voices may sound similar to yours. How different do voices need to be before a system like this can tell them apart?
Yeah. Well, they're already doing some of that in Siri on your phone now, right? I mean, they're doing rejection of non-similar voices. And actually, my son and I rarely can trigger each other's Siri. It happens sometimes, but not always. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well, anyway, it's interesting.
Yes.
Dave, you were going to tell me about your thoughts on Siri versus Alexa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's sort of where this comes from, right? Is so it will do, I suppose, in a general sense, it will do many of the same things that Alexa does. But in terms of being able to wire it up to all these other things that you can get, like your news and all of that stuff that Alexa can do for you, it doesn't seem like, I mean, it can give you it, in fact, give me the news is one of the things on the website about, you know, specifically what it can do. But where does that come from? How do you configure that? Is that like my specific stuff, or is this just Siri deciding the news? And from what is it intelligently doing it? Right. I mean, this is where
Siri forgets after 6 months, whereas Alexa doesn't. And so Alexa keeps on learning and keeps learning more and more about you. So,
right.
That right. Apple may be a little sensitive about that right now.
Yep. Oh, they are.
I can understand that.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see what this thing actually does. And, remember, the hardware on this thing is probably pretty close to final, just because they've got to ramp up production at some point. But software, they've got, at least several months before they need to lock that down, I would think.
Right. And of course, locking it down doesn't mean no more features in the future. It just means they're going to lock down the release features.
That's
and then
right.
they can add things later, which means that what I want for HomePod is to be able to take two of these, set them on my near my television, and have my Apple TV recognize them, excuse me, and then automatically use them as my home theater system.
I don't think that's coming in version one, but it is not technically impossible, only right. technically difficult for that to be simply a software upgrade. You wouldn't necessarily need any different hardware to make that happen.
Yeah, I would be stunned to see something like that in the release version, but I will now hold out hope that down the road we will see a software update that does make that happen.
Yep.
I so want
I'm
one.
Curious. I'm I excited to see this evolve. Yeah. I mean, it. You know, I have more Sonos stuff in my house than I can count. I love the concept and execution of whole home audio. So really no one has been able to compete with Sonos yet. So maybe Apple is the first that's going to truly be able to offer some things that are different in a way that it actually appeals to customers, as opposed to like what Bose is doing, which is basically just selling more Sonos stuff by the time people use it. Everybody that I know that's used the Bose stuff, for long enough says, tell me about Sonos, because this Bose thing is frustrating, and the same with the Polk stuff. So I don't think that's the future of this for Apple. Obviously, Apple probably hopes not. And I don't think it is. I think Apple of all companies has the software and UX savvy to do this right if they focus on it.
I'm really interested in playing with one of these when they come out,
and same.
Yep. I think there's a lot of people that are. Hey, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Always great to get to chat with you about audio stuff, especially. John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
And I'm so glad that you're able to join us today, because I haven't been able to hear you on any of the shows this week. So I'm glad we fixed that. I'm also glad that Gig Sky, Mac Sales, Riedel, Sanebox, and iMazing have been our sponsors all week. And our sponsor for the show today is Otherworld Computing, Mac Sales. So go check them out, MacSales.com. And listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again on Monday.